Okay, so back in the sofa room this evening, Parami here again. And this evening I'm joined by Padmasuri and Sadaloka. So Padmasuri and Sadaloka are the DEPs, or the deputy chairs of the college, and have been, well, Padmasuri for 10 years now?
Yep, that's right.
Next year. And Sadaloka, 5 years? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so just before I maybe ask you a couple of questions about how you're enjoying the meeting, etc., do you want to just introduce yourself? Maybe just say a little bit about where you live and, you know.
Okay, what you do. Okay, first?
Yeah,
do. Okay. Yep. Okay, so hi, I'm Padmasuri, and I'm based in Cambridge, UK. What else do you want to know?
I don't know.
I've been a public preceptor probably about 12 years, something like that. And very early on, it was at the time when Sabuti was stepping down as chair of the college and Damarati was taking it on. I was one of the people nominated to be one of the deputy chairs. So I took that on very, very early on as a college member. Mm.
Okay, well, I might come back and ask you a bit more about what that means. Yeah. But yeah, meanwhile, Sadaloka, you want to say hi? Just introduce yourself a wee bit.
Right, Sadaloka. I live at Padmaloka over in Norfolk, and I've been living there almost 20 years, working with the ordination team. And it looks as though I'm going to be moving over to Adistana next April.
Great. Well, yeah, I'll come back to that as well. So I'll try and hold those thoughts.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we're just over halfway through the meeting, I think a bit more than halfway. And the programme's changed again. So we've had some time in our coolers at the beginning, which other interviews have talked about. We had some time talking about issues that we're interested in that are affecting the order, the movement at the moment. And then today we started to do some study. So how are you finding... Well, first of all, how do you find that as a programme, both of you? You know, the change and different kind of paces and things of the programme.
I think it works quite well for me. there's only so much business and broader issues, thinking about that I can, my little head can kind of take in. So I'm really enjoying actually going into some deeper study now. We did have one evening with Padmavedra when we were doing some stuff on the Magia Sutta as well. So for me, that's quite a good balance.
Mm-hmm. But you, Sadaloka, do you enjoy the way the programme works out?
Well, I think it's very good that we do have a balance of different activities. I wouldn't be able to manage too much more business type discussion, sort of discussing principles and issues, and it's been very good hearing Sabuti holding forth on consciousness today.
Okay, yeah, so tell us a little bit about what the study has been, what's happening. So they're fighting, you can't see this because it's only audio, but each of them very politely suggesting that the other one tell us about it. So when are you just launching? Sadaloka.
Well, Sabuti has read so much and thought so much. It's quite daunting, actually, being in a study group with him, hearing him talk about Schopenhauer, Kant, the Yogacara, and throwing in a little bit of Leibniz and whoever else. And his mind works probably about 10 times faster than mine. So it's very stimulating and enjoyable and quite challenging, just keeping up with Sabuti's thinking. But, very worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that listening to that, it sounds very heady, very abstract and conceptual, you know, when we... if you mention all those philosophers and the Yogacara and things. But is that the atmosphere? Is that what it feels like?
No, I don't think the atmosphere feels like that at all, because although, obviously, as Sadaloka says, all that's in there, but Sabuti does make it very applicable to our Dharma life and activity and how the world is today and our responses to that. And he's been talking about right view. So in a way, I mean, for myself, you know, I can't always keep up with him. I should say that while I'm doing this, when Subhuti's talking a lot, and frankly, it's seminar style, he's just really doing the talking, and we just chip in if there's clarifications. I'm doing some knitting because I find that helps focus my mind. And see, quite a few of the guys have said, oh, I'd like to knit now as well.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I wouldn't like to give too stereotypical a picture of, you know, you knitting while we... Mind you, while we listen to philosophy, it's not completely stereotypical. So, was there anything particular in today's study that either of you found thought-provoking or interesting?
I think some of what Subhuti is probably coming on to, which in a way is sort of a lead into this, is, well, it is this whole idea of views and where views come from and how this is looking at the different levels of consciousness and how that reflects in the way we perceive the world. Mm. So I find all that rather fascinating, and there's a lot more to be unpacked, and I know that tomorrow he's going to be talking more about the Alia consciousness, and connecting that up with the imagination. So I don't really know what he's going to say, but I think that's some of his new thought that he's going to bring about.
So he's been talking to Bhante recently about some of this material, I believe, and this is a way of him bringing some of that, his own thoughts and Bhante's thoughts, into relationship.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's been a while. They've been thinking and talking about consciousness and the Yogacara for a while, because here at Adhisthana last year, Subhuti did some study with the community, or earlier this year, he did some study with the community. It got along similar lines, actually, where he was starting to talk about how Western philosophical views of consciousness relate to, are different from, or similar to Buddhist views of consciousness, particularly coming from the Yogacara. So good to see that thought kind of developing and moving on, yeah. And apparently there's a book in it, I believe, so something to look forward to. So going back a bit into the meeting before the study, if you can remember back, sometimes it's quite hard to kind of go back to bits, but anything of interest that, you know, you'd like to share?
Of course, I don't know what other people have been talking about, but certainly if we go back to our cooler meetings, so this was particularly the women's cooler. Well, this has come out of the need of us being extremely stretched in our work. We are a small cooler. And so we've been, well, we're thinking before the meeting, but certainly at the meeting, talking about the next generation, how we're going to bring on new public preceptors for the future in the next generation. So I find that both stimulating and refreshing, because we really need to have that in the mix.
Great.
We're all getting on.
So that was a bit of a highlight for you.
So that was a highlight.
Yeah. And anything for you, Sadaluka, that stands out as a highlight so far?
Well, there was a similar theme in our discussions in the joint men's coolers as well, where, you know, just recognising many of us, well, probably half of us were in our 60s and mid-60s, and, yeah, just the real need to bring on another generation of public preceptors, actually, in the next 5 years, so that, by the end of that time, we are really able to step back and see another generation carrying on what we've been doing.
Yeah, so succession planning, important. I mean, people say to me sometimes, you know, I'm out and about and travel, and people say, ask me about the college, and they say, oh, but if you, nobody gets ordained until they're about 45, so of course they're all going to be 60 when they become public preceptors. So is that, do you see that as true? Or did nobody get ordained under 45 these days?
Well, no, people do get ordained under 45, but of course, you know, it is, I suppose, a particular kind of person, and I don't mean a stereotype, but, you know, someone who's going to really take up responsibilities in the movement and the order, who is going to be the right kind of person to take on being a public preceptor. And not everybody does that. Not everybody wants to do that.
But you do think there is a possibility of some younger blood?
I think there is possibility, and in a way we're thinking about the next generation, which maybe we're talking about people who are perhaps around about 50-ish. But, you know, I'd like them, if they come into the college before long, be thinking about and the next generation. Great. But then it all flows down. It'd be great if people were ordained younger.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we don't get this sort of old age bottleneck.
Yeah. Is that similar in the men's side, do you think, Sadaluka?
Yeah, I mean, the Young People's Initiative does seem to mean there are more younger people coming in and getting ordained. Again, we're just going to have to see how that works out in terms of, you know, those people really wanting to take responsibility and carry the initiatives forward in just unfolding the order and movement. And it was certainly one of the things that attracted me when I came along in my very early 30s was the fact that the order and movement were very much in the making.
Yeah.
And I could contribute. And I think it, because things are so much more formed out, it's easy for people to think it's all a done deal. Mm. They just have to fit in. And I hope we can get the message across that actually this is a very young order and movement, and there's a lot more still to be done, a lot more possibilities still to unfold, and that the world needs the Dharma, and that more younger people will be joining us to really try and make a difference.
Great. So yeah, there was a young person's retreat here at Adhisthana 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, and there were 150 on it.
Fantastic.
I believe, and maybe it was slightly less, but I think maybe they had 150 bookings. Slightly less actually came, but that, you know, it's great, and it seems like there's a really good atmosphere. So here's hoping, yeah, and I think that's a really important message, Sadaluka. That so hopefully, if there are any young people listening to this audio booth, that the movement is still there for the shaping. It's not finished. It's actually still in progress and in process. So bring it on. So just before we finish, Sadaluka, you mentioned that you're probably moving over here next year. Do you want to tell us a bit about that? Is it just because you like the Malvern Hills?
Well, actually, it does rain a lot over in this part of the world. I'm not sure.
We've been seeing that, haven't we, this week?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd naturally choose this part of the world. Though the Malverns are very lovely, and the Welsh Mountains, even more inviting. No, last March at the meeting here, somewhat to my surprise, I found myself put forward as the next chair of the college after Dharmareti, and I'll probably be taking over from him this next March and moving here. Exactly what the job's going to mean and involve, I'm still going to have to find out. With some trepidation and also, you know, feeling very happy about the move, I'll be coming over in this direction.
Well, that's a big change, because you said you've been 20 years at Padmaloka, so yeah, I'm glad you're willing to make the move. Be good. And just before we finish, I said at the beginning that you two are deputy chairs of the college. So I'm going to just say a little bit about what that means or what it's meant over the years.
Well, I think initially it was put forward to me, you know, it's very much sort of supporting Dharmareti in his work as chair. When he first became chair of the college, actually he didn't have that much experience of the ordination process. But then it was myself and Padma Vajra who did have quite a bit more. And then I suppose it's developed over the years. We would meet, Dharmareti with myself and Padma Vajra at first, and then with Sadaloka and myself, maybe three, four times a year outside of meetings. And we'll pull together things that had come up in the meetings, take things forward. And then actually during the college meetings, we meet most evenings and just see how the programme's going and what's going to be happening tomorrow. And we hang out a bit together and we chew the cud, not so much on the meetings, we don't have so much time, but outside the meetings we do that.
So for our non-English speakers listening to that, okay. Would you just tell us what chewing the
cud
means?
Yeah, it just means we ramble around certain themes and we don't necessarily come up with conclusions about things. But I think it's useful, I hope it's useful for Dharmarati.
Oh, I'm sure.
And both Sadaloka and I have probably different perspectives from Dharmarati. You know, we just work in different areas. So we come together on things.
Great. And it's been, I mean, in Dharmarati's 10 years as chair of the college, I think things have changed quite a lot. And for example, the whole initiative of setting up the International Council, where the order, the movement, and the college can come together worldwide, has been a major part of Dharmarati's work for the last 5 years or so. So, Sadaloka, you well, both of you have been quite involved in that as well, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, we have. I was a bit daunted when I first realised that we have it written in our working practices, the college working practices, that the deputy chairs would be part of the steering group of the International Council. And I just sort of said, well, look, that wasn't what I took on when I first became a deputy chair, but I'll see how it goes. And it is. It's a big area. It's a really big area. And I just actually want to take this opportunity, Parami, if I may, to praise Dharmarati, because I think he's done and doing an extraordinary job, both in the college and in the International Council. If I think about the college, you know, a lot of us came in, yourself, Parami, and myself and Sadaloka, at a time when some of the original college members were wanting out, wanted to do different things, and we came in, and it was all a bit confusing, and I think what Dharmarati has allowed people to do is to have their voice. He really, really encourages consensual thinking, wanting everybody to have their voice, find out really what's going on, being out there in the order trusting him. I really think that broadly, you know, the order very much trusts Dharmarati, and that's been a huge thing, and that's carried on through. And then, obviously, his baby, in a way, has been the International Council, I feel, more. And he's doing, you know, he's moving that forwards with a lot of other people very, very ably, and I just hope he carries on being involved in that for a long time, so it's really having an effect in the wider order and movement.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's very true. And in my own role as International Order Convener, I travel around a lot. And, you know, people are starting to get a sense of what the International Council is about, that it isn't just a bureaucratic meeting, but a way of people to really hear each other from different parts of the world and the different strands. And I think, yeah, that has been a really major addition to our functions, our institutions, our structures. So you're part of that as well, aren't you, Sadaloka? Have you anything to add to?
Well, one of the things that really became very clear at the International Council meeting this last summer was the importance of the area councils, which are part of the whole structure of councils. I think probably it's least noticed in the UK, where we already have a lot of institutions and structures, but I do get the impression that in Australasia, in the Spanish-speaking world, in North America, India, you know, in Europe, mainland Europe, the area councils really have started to come into their own and been doing very valuable work. And in some places it's more striking than others, but, you know, it's... So it's not just the International Council, you know, it's the whole structure of ways in which the order can be consulted, where decisions, things discussed, things fed back. You know, I think something is starting to work where previously it wasn't possible. And I think it is the area councils as part, if you like, of the International Council network that... Where we're already starting to see big changes.
Great. Well, thank you both very much, and thank you for the work you've done as deputies for the college, and thank you for being willing to sit on the sofa with me this evening. And just one last thing to say before we stop is one of the things today that's been very much in my mind is we've heard the news that Navachitta, Dharmacharini from Auckland, who's been visiting the UK just recently, has ended up in hospital. So I think the thing for me that I've been thinking about today is just how fragile life is, really.
Yes.
You know, she suddenly finds herself ill with pneumonia earlier on in the retreat. And the meeting we had, our Skype with Vajragita, which people talked about that evening, and just how radiant she was. But again, you know, she was at our meeting in March in such good form. So, you know, it's Adiloka, just to reiterate what you said about the world needs the Dharma. I mean, life is fragile. Our own human life is fragile. The planet's fragile.
And our order is fragile.
And our order is fragile. So thank you. Yeah, it's true. You know, so anything that can help us to strengthen that and come together seems to be worthwhile. So, yeah, thank you for the part you play in that. Over and out.